Hello, everybody. Welcome to another show. Today we have Ange McGregor on from Kingston, Ontario, who is a nurse practitioner who works with individuals, helping them understand more about their body. She's also a competitive athlete as well, and she is a mom of two to a husband who is an entrepreneur, and she's an entrepreneur. I thought no better person to bring on than a person who actually is working with people and seeing the clinical side, as well as living the healthy lifestyle. So Ange, welcome to the show. And thank you for taking time for today for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Ange, tell us a little bit about how you got into your industry of becoming a nurse practitioner and why you opened up your own clinic, which you've told me you've been in business for about 3 years. How did you get there?
Yes. Yeah, you got it. So if we go back to kind of my previous experience, I've been a registered nurse for over 20 years. During that time, I've worked in lots of different areas, labor and delivery, diabetes, surgery, primary care, you've got it. I've worked a lot of different areas. I worked in primary care more recently before starting my own business at family doctor's offices. I saw anything and everything. Patients came to me for multiple concerns or issues. And often those clients already had multiple comorbidities. During that time, I had about 15 or 20 minutes to see that patient and to figure out what was going on and really just to treat the symptom. I really didn't have time to go into, you know, the basics, sleep, stress reduction, exercise. And we know that a lot of those basic things can prevent chronic disease. But I really didn't have time to go into that. It really felt like kind of a band-aid solution where I would write a prescription, send them on their way, and go on to the next patient. And so I really didn't feel good about myself at the end of the day. As cheesy as it might sound, I went into nursing to help people and to feel good and to make a change in people's lives. And I didn't really feel like I was doing that. And so I felt that there has to be a better way. And so I took some courses in functional medicine and I did a certification in bioidentical hormone therapy and learned that there's a lot of things that we can do for chronic illness prevention before it gets to be a problem. And so now that's kind of what I focus my practice on. I see a lot of clients that come to see me just for wellness, overall wellness visits. A lot of patients might not have a family doctor, so that's one of kind of the reasoning that they want to come and see me. Most of the time, clients are coming because they want to be healthy. They want to feel good. They want me to investigate and to look at things that could potentially be kind of like a warning sign for disease. And yeah, we work together on lifestyle changes for sure. Sometimes I uncover a diagnosis and they do need to be treated or maybe they need to be referred. But yeah, I spend, you know, 60 to 90 minutes with my clients now instead of 15 minutes.
And so what are the most common complaints that you would see from a client? So if you think about your last 3 to 5 clients, what are the most common themes that they're coming in with as complaints?
For sure. So I mean, people who come to see me know I do hormone therapy. For sure, I see females with symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Absolutely, that's really common. Fatigue, low energy, definitely really common. And then I would say another really common one is I've gained weight over the last little while. I haven't done anything different. I'm having a really hard time losing weight.
It's refreshing to hear that because in our office, when we do our stats, it's the same thing. It's going to be more energy, digestion, and body composition, right? Those are the top three things. It's good. It's refreshing to hear that the person listening to this has the opportunity to understand that they're not alone with those everyday complaints and that there's people out there who are able to help you kind of make those changes towards feeling better. And what age group are you generally seeing your female clients in?
Yeah. So for females, I would say anywhere from 40 to 55, probably.
Yeah. And so you are seeing the same thing that we probably see is that younger females are coming in with more hormonal symptoms at a younger age.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what are some of those symptoms that you're seeing?
Definitely, you know, hot flashes is a big one. For some women, they can be really severe and really, you know, troubling to them. Sleep, it interferes with sleep, difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep. A lot of them will talk about, you know, this weight gain around the midsection that they didn't have before.
when they come and see you, what type of testing do you do? Is it blood work? Is it lifestyle? Do you get them filling out a questionnaire? What are some of the tools that you use to make these assessments before giving a recommendation?
Yes, all of those things. Absolutely. I'm going to go into, you know, the history of the concern. You know, when did it start? What have you tried? Has anything improved it? I'm going to do blood work. I do a full panel of hormones, biochemistry, inflammatory markers. And I like to look at all of that. And then I will go through that with them, you know, line for line. Why did I choose to test that? What does it mean? And then we'll go into treatment. Treatment potentially is going to be hormones, for sure, for a lot of my clients. But treatment always goes back to lifestyle choices. You know, we always talk about sleep. We always talk about exercise. We always talk about healthy eating habits. And I like to put a lot of that onus back onto the client. Sure, I can give you hormones. And yes, I will probably get rid of your hot flashes, but it's not going to change anything else if you don't make those changes yourself.
When you say you do a hormone panel, I think there's a lot of confusion around that. What does that mean? So if I walk into my doctor and say, can I get a hormonal panel? And if they say yes, what are some of the markers that you're checking on your panel that will give people more insight?
Yes. So in terms of hormones, I'm going to look at, depending on the person and the complaint and kind of where they are, I'm going to check, you know, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, a full thyroid panel. So not just a thyroid stimulating hormone, which you would often get from your family doctor if you go in and complain of fatigue. But I also look at the specific thyroid hormones themselves. So the T3 and the T4, thyroid antibodies. I might look at cortisol. So the stress hormone, I don't do that on everybody, but that might be something that I would look at as well.
Gotcha. So you're going to check their full hormones, plus you'll check their inflammatory markers as well. Now, yes. Based on your experience, because obviously you're going to do a client, let's say day one, right? And then you're going to see that you're probably going to recheck in 6 months. What are three, minus the hormones that you've given them, right? Because I'm sure there's some candidates that you've worked with that don't qualify for hormones right away, right? What are some of three lifestyle factors that you've given them that has helped improve their hormonal function? Right? Because if you do the blood work in the beginning and at the end, there's going to be some lifestyle factors that I'm sure you're commonly recommending that you just see big bang for the bucks with all of your clientele. Could you share with us those three lifestyle factors?
Yes. I would say first and foremost is sleep. Sleep hygiene, we go deep into. Obviously, small things like going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time every day, getting rid of alcohol, or at the very least, limiting alcohol intake. Most of us don't realize that alcohol is a stimulant. You know, it might help you to fall asleep, but it's not going to help you to stay asleep. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night, or you're going to wake up a lot earlier. Alcohol can increase hot flashes as well. So if you're trying to deal with hot flashes, getting rid of alcohol can really help. Not eating a large meal close to bedtime, limiting caffeine intake and having it only in the morning, decreasing fluid intake close to bed so that you're not waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. Sleep for me is number one, because that's going to translate into everything that following day. If you're not getting good sleep, are you going to feel really energized? Are you going to get to the gym? You know, sleep for sure. The other thing, you know, for hormones is food quality and what you're putting in your body. We want to limit, you know, highly processed foods. We want to limit packaged foods with plastic and all of those kind of endocrine disruptors that are going to affect our hormones. And then the other big one for everyone is, of course, going to be exercise and moving your body. Yeah, all of those things. Those three things are top for sure.
Do you use any tools for tracking sleep so that clients can learn more? Which tool do you recommend the most?
For sure. I mean, a lot of my clients have, you know, sleep trackers. They have a watch, whether it be a Fitbit or an Apple Watch. I really like the Oura Ring for sleep tracking. I mean, if that's in their means to go out and purchase, I would definitely recommend something like that for sure.
The reason why I bring that up is because all of my clients who got an Oura Ring actually have cut alcohol before I even have to recommend it, because they can actually see their heart rate variability. They can see their quality of sleep actually drop, right? And I think it was very eye-opening for them, because we can tell them these things, but once they have some type of tracker that they can invest into and see the difference, it's there. Because the reason why I'm saying that is because I believe everything you just said is so impactful to someone's changing of their hormones. And sometimes having a tracker and actually seeing it helps provide the data for them, right? And they're so good in terms of providing that data. So yes, sleep is important. And anytime clients get a tracker, they will be able to see all those things you said, how their sleep scores improve, if they wake up at the same time, go to bed at the same time, if they don't eat a big meal before bed, if they don't cut out alcohol, even blue light, you can just see all the differences with it. With those changes that you've made, what are some of the dietary changes you've recommended them? So what would be three specific changes that if you could give all the females out there who are between 40 and 50, what would be three specific nutritional changes they should make today that would benefit their hormones?
Yeah, so I would say, especially for females that are in that perimenopausal stage or nearing menopause or postmenopause, protein. Women don't get enough protein. We want to make sure that we're getting protein with every single meal, every snack. I don't love for, you know, those women as well, intermittent fasting, right? We want to have regular meals throughout the day so that our body is not stressed and not looking to hang on to those calories when we do eventually get them. Trying to get whole foods more often. So a really easy way to do that is when you go grocery shopping, try to stick to the perimeter of the grocery store. Don't go down all of those aisles where all of the packaged foods and whatnot are. You don't have to be perfect, but small changes consistently over time can make a big impact on your health, on your hormones, and on your weight. And then making sure you're getting enough fiber. Again, we typically don't get enough fiber. We should be getting anywhere from 25 to 35 grams of fiber per day. And going back to tracking, I mean, if you're willing to track your food and put it into something like a free app like MyFitnessPal, you'll soon realize that, yeah, I'm actually not getting enough fiber. And you can try to find ways to incorporate that into the diet.
I'm going to talk a little bit about your history about being in fitness, right? Because you did figure competitions. What would be a serving of protein for you? Because I think a lot of females will say, oh, you know, I eat a palm size of protein and that's going to be good enough. So you today, mom, entrepreneur, busy family, what does a serving of protein look like for you in terms of a serving of protein? What would be the size that you would generally put on your plate?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when we say, you know, a palm serving, or I've often heard like the size of a deck of cards, you know, that's about 4 ounces of protein when you're looking at a cut of meat. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a good guideline. I don't like to have my clients go and start weighing their food because that can get, you know, tiring over time. I did that for a very long time when I was competing. But I mean, if you're looking at grams, you know, ideally you're getting a gram of protein per pound of body weight. Yeah. For me, that would be about 130 grams of protein.
And so when you eat a serving of protein though, what are you eating now? Like if you were talking about when you eat today, as a mom, entrepreneur, business professional, are you eating 4 ounces, 5 ounces, 6 ounces?
Probably 5 to 6 ounces.
Yeah, that's great.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you were eating eggs, what would be a portion of eggs for you?
I would usually do a cup of egg whites.
Okay.
And probably a whole egg. I know. Yeah. And I feel like breakfast is that really good time to get a lot of protein. And that's where we tend to lack the protein intake. I think one egg has 7 grams of protein. So 2 eggs is not enough. For breakfast. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good. I love the insight. And I think that people need to hear that, because we'll always say, oh, I just eat 4 ounces. I said, no, you got to eat 5, 6, 7 for your body weight, your height, your performance, your activity, the level of stress, your current condition of metabolic syndrome. And you're like you were talking about before, the core morbidities. People are looking at generic recommendations. And then when they sit down and they get a personalized recommendation, like, oh, that's so much. Well, yes, based on your complaints, the fact that you have no energy, the fact that your body fat's over 25%, you have joint pain, you're not sleeping properly, you're going to need a higher level of protein in the beginning to kind of get things moving here, because, and then we can start to move to the more maintenance stuff. But if we want to get the body moving, that you're going to need a lot more protein. Now, I'm just going to ask you the one question there that you had mentioned about intermittent fasting, because the dietary changes that you said people need to make was eat more protein, make sure they're eating whole food, make sure that they are eating enough fiber, and that they're eating regular times throughout the day. What's one negative from intermittent fasting that you've seen with your female clients that they should know about right away?
Yeah. So, I mean, intermittent fasting, when going a long time without eating, it's a stress on your body. And so when your body's stressed, your body's going to release cortisol, high levels of cortisol over a long period of time, chronic stress, if you will, are going to cause implications in the long run. It's going to be more difficult to lose weight. It's going to affect blood sugars. Your liver produces glucose or sugar, and it feeds your bloodstream with sugar when you go without eating. So you're really not helping your blood sugar by going a long time without eating. And so sure, once in a while, if you want to do that, great. But every day for a female that really says, I want to lose weight, you know, and I see it all of the time, they say, I'm only eating one meal a day and I can't lose weight.
Yeah.
Okay, well, clearly then there's something wrong. Let's kind of change that up. Let's try to eat regular spaced out meals with enough protein, with enough fiber, with enough healthy whole foods and see how that goes.
You know, I always giggle because I say, okay, you're going to have a 16-hour day. You tell me that you're stressed, you have no time, and you're going to try to run it on on a low-nutrient, dense diet. And then the one meal you are eating is just fast and like 300 calories and has 10 grams of protein, 10 grams of fat, and 50 grams of carbs. And you're just going to run on that all day long, and you're going to wonder why you can't lose weight. It's a very interesting process. Okay, now what are some of the supplements? So obviously you have done some functional medicine courses. What are maybe three supplements that that 40 to 50-year-old female coming in with those complaints that you had mentioned before, what would be three supplements that you've also seen, practiced, used, and had feedback on that helped your client feel better?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, I do typically check the blood work so I can look at some of those things and I can really guide people on, yes, this is low in your bloodstream, so let's supplement with that. You know, without that general supplementation for females with the kind of 40 to 55 age range, for sure, vitamin D, first and foremost, for everybody. We only get vitamin D from the sun. We're in Canada. We have cold, dark winters. Most Canadians are vitamin D deficient in the winter. And we know that vitamin D is so important for blood sugar control, mood, sleep, and bone strength, for sure, and immunity. So vitamin D would be my top. My second one would probably be combination thyroid support. Potentially one kind of pill, if you will, that has multiple minerals that will help support our thyroid. I have seen with testing a lot of suboptimal thyroid hormones, so that's something that's really good. And I would probably say, depending if a female is in perimenopause and is having frequent or heavy menstrual cycles, then potentially iron, because we do lose iron every month with menstruation. And B12 is a common one that I see people really notice improvement with energy with B12 supplementation.
Gotcha. I'm going to ask you two questions. So one is about the thyroid support and the iron. Do you have a company that you have seen work? Give them a shout out.
Yes, I do like NFH as a company line. Designs for Health, pretty good, is one that I often recommend as well.
Okay. And then a lot of people will have some type of constipation or issue with the iron. What would be a good iron supplement company that you've seen that doesn't cause any digestive issues?
Yeah, so often, again, I think the one that I commonly use is from NFH. It's a heme iron, so it tends to be absorbed a little bit better and has less GI side effects. Yeah, and sometimes it does take a little bit of trial and error. And again, I wouldn't recommend an iron supplement unless I truly saw that that was low in the bloodstream because of those common GI side effects or upset that people can get.
Gotcha. So what you are saying is basically vitamin D, you're super confident in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, in terms of what do you do? So I'm interested in you. Right? What are three things that you do for your health that are non-negotiables on a daily basis?
Again, first and foremost, I will always say sleep. You talk to my husband, you don't want to be around me if I don't have a good sleep. It's the biggest one for me. I'm really good at going to bed at the same time every day, waking up at the same time every day. Of course, I deviate from that a little bit. I do have a social life. And for the most part, it's sleep. And I really focus on that because then I know that I'm going to get out and exercise the next day. I know I'm going to feel better. I know I'm not going to be reaching for carbohydrates because I'm tired. So sleep, you know, secondly, I would say moving my body every day, doing something active. I do have a desk job. I typically am sitting and seeing clients. And so whether it's getting to the gym and doing a workout, going outside and walking my dog, This morning, I did 20 minutes of yoga before I came in. Something. It always makes me feel better mentally, and it gives me more energy. And then lastly, I would say I do need to meal prep. So I do that maybe not every single day, but multiple times per week, because I know that if I don't do that, I'm going to be rushed in the morning and I'm going to come to the office and I'm not going to have a lunch or snacks packed. And then that's when I'm going to be more likely to eat out. Meal prep is super important for me.
Awesome. That's great. I love hearing those because we've had so many health professionals on and they've all said the same thing. They focus on their sleep. They try to get enough protein. They try to get enough whole food and they just move their body, whether it's 20 minutes of yoga or lifting, running. It's just, They don't give that as a zero. They don't want a zero for their movement. Now, in terms of your practice, are you taking on new clients? Do you see clients through Zoom? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I can see clients anywhere in Ontario, and I have an electronic medical record that is very safe and what we call like HIPAA compliant. So we can do video calls through there. Like I said, anywhere in Ontario, I can order blood work. And if I work with any pharmacies here or hormone prescription or whatnot, they can ship prescriptions anywhere in Ontario as well.
And you are taking on new clients as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's great. Because we'll have you on our, we'll put you at the bottom of our YouTube page so people can get a link of you. So where can people get a hold of you?
They can go onto my website, which is Vitalis Advanced Health Clinic. My phone number is there, my email. There's also a booking link if they want to go ahead and just book an appointment. Always will offer a free kind of 10 to 15 minute phone consultation just to see that if I'm going to be the right fit for you.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, thank you very much for sharing your experience. This was great. I think there's a lot of valuable, everyday good information here. And I appreciate you taking the time and sharing all of that information with us. So thank you very much and have a good day, Ange.
Thank you so much for having me, Harry.